the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Prayer to Christ the King. O Jesus Christ, I acknowledge Thee as universal King. All that has been made has been created for Thee. Exercise all Thy rights over me. I renew my baptismal vows, renouncing Satan, his pomps, and his works, and I promise to live as a good Christian. In particular, do I pledge myself to labor to the best of my ability for the triumph of the rights of God and of Thy Church. Divine Heart of Jesus, to Thee do I proffer my poor services, laboring that all hearts may acknowledge Thy sacred kingship, and that thus the reign of Thy peace be established throughout the whole universe. Amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. We are looking at My Catholic Faith, Lesson 145, Examination of Conscience. In the image, we see a man at the kneeler before the crucifix. We see the all-seeing God, eye of God in heaven. And we see, it looks like a questionnaire for an examination of conscience being written in the clouds there, I guess. Filling in those things probably by our guardian angel. So I will just read the caption for this image. In our examination of conscience, we must make a careful scrutiny, as it were, to appear at that moment before the judgment seat of God. We must not, however, be scrupulous, remembering that God is a just and merciful God who does not expect what is beyond our power. By the examination, we learn to know ourselves, our weaknesses, our temptations, our sins. During the examination of conscience, we should decide how we are to tell our sins so that we may be clear and brief. First question, what must we do to receive the sacrament of penance worthily? We must, 1, examine our conscience. By the examination of conscience, we recall the sins committed since our last good confession. 2, be sorry for our sins. By contrition or sorrow for sins, we express to God our grief that we have disobeyed Him, that we have been His unfaithful children. 3, have a firm purpose not to sin again. By this purpose of amendment, we sincerely promise God not to fall into the sins we confess, not to fall again into the sins we confess. 4, confess our sins to the priest. The act of telling our sins to the priest is called confession. 5, perform the penance given by the priest. The performance of the penance after confession is called satisfaction, for by that act we try to repair the damage our sins have done. To receive the sacrament of penance worthily, we must imitate the prodigal son. He thought over the evil he had done and acknowledged it, examination of conscience. He realized his ingratitude towards his good father and grieved with all his heart, contrition. He made up his mind to return to his father and from thenceforth to change his ways, purpose of amendment. Upon his return, he fell at his father's feet, confessed the evil he had done, and begged pardon for it, confession. 5, he implored his father not to treat him as a son, but as a mere servant, satisfaction. What is an examination of conscience? An examination of conscience is a sincere effort to call to mind all the sins we have committed since our last worthy confession. Before our examination of conscience, we should ask God's help to know our sins and to confess them with sincere sorrow. Without His grace, we can neither know our sins nor feel sorrow for them. Quote, as I live, saith the Lord God, I desire not the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Exodus 33, verse 11. The examination of conscience is important, for by it we learn to know ourselves, and so find means of improvement. How many men there are who know innumerable things about nature, science, literature, and law, and yet have never even peered into their own souls. Self-knowledge is a gift of God that we implore in prayer. If we have self-knowledge, we shall be sure of avoiding the self-complacency that is the obstacle to a sincere examination of conscience. How can we make a good examination of conscience? We can make a good examination of conscience by calling to memory the commandments of God and of the Church and the particular duties of our state of life, and by asking ourselves how we may have sinned with regard to them. We should make as careful an examination as if we were on our deathbed, considering in what way we have sinned in thought, desire, word, deed, or omission. We must recall how often we have committed mortal sins. I will meditate on thy commandments, and I will consider thy ways. Psalm 118, verse 15. We need not be too anxious about examining ourselves on venial sins, as it is not necessary to confess them, but it is better to do so in order to amend ourselves and to obtain greater graces. In our examination of conscience, let us beware lest in searching out small sins we may cover the large ones. Let us not imitate the Pharisees, to whom our Lord said, quote, "Blind guides who strain out the gnat, but swallow the camel." St. Matthew chapter 23, verse 24. In our examination, we should recall all the circumstances that might change the nature of the sins we wish to confess. For example, if a man has stolen a ciborium from the church, it is not enough for him to confess, "I stole." Stealing sacred vessels, besides being theft, is moreover sacrilege. We should determine exactly what we are going to confess and how we are going to express it, avoiding random talk. When is the examination of conscience careless? The examination of conscience is careless when we make it too hastily and thus fail to remember all our sins. Some careless people rush into the confessional after 1 or 2 minutes' preparation. They seem to make confession a mere stopover between 2 points of outside interest. We receive greater graces from confession the better we know ourselves, our sins, our weaknesses, and the greater is our contrition and the stronger our purpose of amendment. These important dispositions cannot be affected by a hasty examination. One who omits confessing a mortal sin through deliberate carelessness in examination does not make a good confession. A good rule is to prepare for each confession as if it were to be the last we shall make in this life. The chief reason for our falling into the same sins time and again is our want of earnest preparation for confession and the resulting lack of conviction of the need of amendment. When is the examination of conscience too scrupulous? The examination of conscience is too scrupulous when we make ourselves miserable by minute and prolonged examination, fearing that we may not do it well. Some scrupulous persons spend a half hour or more examining themselves with the minutest detail for a weekly confession. This is too long. A good examination for a weekly confession can be made in 5 minutes, and for a monthly confession in 10 or 15 minutes, especially if one has not neglected to make his daily examination of conscience. Our Lord certainly did not institute confession to be a means of torture, but a means of forgiveness and relief. In preparing for confession, many give too much time to the examination of conscience and too little to exciting true sorrow for sins. It is unnecessary to count the exact number of our temptations or distractions. It is unnecessary to worry over what we cannot remember. What scrupulous persons need is good common sense. A good rule is to examine our conscience every evening, spending a few moments looking over the day's actions. Then, when the time for confession, we have only to recall the sins our nightly examinations reveal to us. A good examination of conscience is an assurance of a good confession. We can neither confess nor feel sorry for what we do not recall. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. First Epistle of St. John, chapter 1, verse 8. That concludes our reading. I really don't have much to add other than to emphasize that we should begin our examination by asking the Holy Ghost to come and enlighten us and to help us truly examine our conscience. It is, I don't want to say a tricky matter, but it is a delicate matter because we have to avoid, on the one hand, becoming too careless or lax, just passing over things as if they were unimportant. And then on the other hand, we have to avoid becoming too scrupulous and seeing sin where there is no sin at all, where there is merely perhaps temptations which are not sins. And paying too much attention to venial sins and somehow overlooking mortal sins is pharisaical, as the reading pointed out. The Pharisees, Christ condemned them for wanting to strain out the gnat, the little tiny things, but they were swallowing a camel. The great big things they did not worry about. And it should truly be the opposite, where we are concerned with mortal sins or the more important things and not so much on the little things. And I'd like to emphasize that it is well for us to not only think about what we're going to confess, but how we're going to confess it, so that we don't spend a lot of time in the confessional trying to think of what we're going to say, because we have already examined our conscience. There tends to be a lot of rambling, and perhaps it is because someone has not made a good confession, but I tend to think that because we're nervous, we tend to ramble and say a lot of ahs and ahs and and it is not essential that we avoid all those, but we should try our best to speak clearly and distinctly, humbly and honestly, confess our sins in the confessional, so that the priest can immediately grasp the state of our soul and the fact that we have true contrition. I have mentioned that individuals have asked for assistance in the past of examining the their conscience, and again, the Ten Commandments, the laws of the Church. These are the general things that we go over, but in our examination, if we're in the habit of daily examining our conscience, we can each night before going to sleep, or in our prayers before or after the rosary, whenever it may be, examine how our day went, what we have done, what we should have done, what we could have done better, what we wasted time on, those different things, as we accumulate them night by night, it makes our examination of conscience before our confession so much easier, because we simply have to recall what we have discovered in our nightly examinations. There has to be in our confession sufficient detail, but I think as a confessor, I would rather have people not get into too much detail. If you can simply and honestly state the circumstances or the sins, it is much easier to get a grasp of it. I think sometimes people feel the need to get into all the details and extenuating circumstances, which are unnecessary. But of course, I don't want to lead people to laxity either, because if there are some extenuating circumstances, then those should be mentioned as well. Any questions, comments? Okay. And we will end with our act of resignation to the divine will. In the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. O Lord my God, I now at this moment readily and willingly accept at thy hand whatever kind of death it may please thee to send me, with all its pains, penalties, and sorrows. Benedictio de omnipotentis, Patris et Filii, et Spiritus Sancti, descendit super vos, et maniat semper. Amen.